Nation, the College Football Betting Podcast, presented by Best Bet Sportsbook. I am your host, Aaron Torres. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody is ready for the full deep dive on week one of college football. That is right. It is game week, and there is no more time to waste. If you're subscribed to the feed, you know we already did a preview of the Thursday night games, the games many of you will listen on Thursday. So that episode already dropped. We previewed Utah, Florida, Minnesota, Nebraska, UConn, NC State earlier in the week. If you missed that one, go back and download it. Today, it's all about the rest of the state, the rest of the slate with the Saturday and, of course, Sunday and Monday games in college football. We'll be previewing LSU, Florida State, TCU, Colorado, South Carolina, North Carolina. So much to get to. Before we get started, I want to remind everybody, one, make sure you're subscribed to the College Football Betting Podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. This show is there. Appreciate everybody's support. Tuesday's episode previewing Thursday. That was the most downloads we have had for an episode all summer long. And so it shows me that you guys and girls are ready for college football. And of course, if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel really starting to take off. You can do so on YouTube. Just search College Football Betting with Aaron Torres. With that said, let's not waste any more time. Let's jump right into the weekend games. And what I'm going to do to start, we're actually going to zip ahead past Saturday. We'll come back, I promise. But we got to start with that Sunday game. Two top 10 teams, the signature matchup in college football this weekend, number 8 Florida State, number 5 LSU. LSU a 2.5-point favorite in the Betfred Sportsbook, the over-under set at 56.5. And when I look at this game, a couple things stand out. One, it's interesting kind of reading everybody's kind of preview stuff in the lead up to not only this game, but this season, because it feels like pretty much everybody that's in the business of making college football playoff picks, pretty much everybody in that business either has LSU or Florida State in their college football playoff, but not both. And what that says to me, this is kind of that last iteration, old school college football, where if you win in week one, it's great. But if you lose in week one, your back is against the wall all year. That's going to change going forward with this 12-team playoff. But on Sunday night, we know what's at stake. In terms of the two teams, let me say this. Two super talented teams. And I think from the Florida State perspective, I don't know that people fully appreciate what Mike Norvell has done now heading into year four. You look at this team, not a ton of weaknesses, not saying they're Georgia, not saying they're going to win a national championship, but you have a veteran experienced quarterback, a guy that last year threw for 24 touchdowns, rushed for another 7 touchdowns, had almost 500 yards on the ground, 3,200 yards through the air, 24 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, passing. So he's kind of a mistake-free type guy. Florida State also returns its leading rusher in Trey Benson. It returns on top of all of that. I would argue one of the deepest and most talented receiver rooms in college football. Johnny Wilson is the name to know there. Keon Coleman, the transfer from Michigan State. And keep a name, Heike Williams, a 5-star kid who it was a high school player a year ago. Beyond that, deep, experienced offensive line. They added a couple nice pieces through the portal as well. Most notably, Jeremiah Byers, a transfer from UTEP, very highly coveted. And then on the defensive side, number 4 ranked pass defense in college football last year, brings back a lot. And of course, up front, Jared Verse is the name to know. He was a monster last year, 17.5 tackles for loss. I've said it many times. He is a guy. He would have been a day one guy had he wanted to go to the NFL, decides to come back to college football last year, or college football this year, excuse me, to play one final year and really try to elevate Florida State. Now, in terms of LSU, it's pretty much the same. That frontline talent at LSU, it's as good as anybody's. Brian Kelly, in a short amount of time, has done a great job. Jaden Daniels is the name. Obviously, everybody knows Jaden Daniels. The wide receiver room, if you're looking for a strength of LSU, I think all those receivers are very good. Kyron Lacy's back. Malik Nabers, the leading receiver, is back. Of course, Mason Taylor, who became kind of a household name with the game-winning score against Alabama last year. Remember, last year, LSU also started two true freshmen at offensive tackle. Both those guys are back. And then up front, LSU, maybe not quite as deep as you need to be to win a national championship, but Mekhi Wingo, Harold Perkins is a monster. And unfortunately, of course, Mason Smith, who is not going to play in this game because the NCAA is dumb. Let me be the millionth person to tell you he should not be suspended for this game. It's a disappointment. And then in the back seven, you know, you have a combination of kind of a couple nice transfers. They did pick up a star linebacker out of Oregon State. And so that was Omar Spates, excuse me, from Oregon State. And then a bunch of guys in the secondary, Denver Harris, Zy Alexander, Andre Sam is a guy that's really made a lot of news in fall camp. With that said, let's get into the preview. And what I would say is bluntly, the last part that I mentioned kind of is, to me, maybe the most interesting element of this game as well. You look at Florida State. I'm not saying they're a perfect football team. I don't see that super obvious weakness where if you look at LSU, two things stand out. One, the run defense was not very good last year. Now, again, Brian Kelly, I don't think people realized he inherited a bigger mess than people realized. But this was a group that ranked 62nd nationally and really kind of wore down end of the season. 274 yards allowed on the ground to Texas A&M. Remember, they lost to Texas A&M in the final game of the regular season. 255 yards allowed to Georgia in the SEC championship game. Now, I get that Georgia was the national champion, but you give up back-to-back 250-yard performances on the ground, that's not a good sign. And then that secondary, like I said, last year, they really had to backfill through the portal. Well, a lot of those guys graduated, and now you have to backfill again with Denver Harris, Andre Sam, Zy Alexander, et cetera. Denver Harris has kind of been in and out during fall camp. And bluntly, that is the concern for me coming into this game, is that I think when you look at Florida State, and I know they play in the ACC, and they don't play anybody, and they play a bunch of Boston colleges and Syracuse and whatever. I think you can legitimately say two things about Florida State. Florida State will probably have the best offensive line that LSU will probably see until at least Alabama. Now, Alabama's been talking all offseason about how much more physical they're going to be. We'll see if that's the case. But Florida State has NFL bodies, day one bodies on that offensive line. And then two, that wide receiver room is huge. And that's the part that really concerns me, is you look at a rebuilt LSU defensive secondary. You look at the fact that, oh, by the way, like I said, a guy like Denver Harris has kind of been in and out during fall camp. I'd be a little bit worried if I was LSU going up against this specific wide receiver room. As I said, Johnny Wilson, leading returning receiver, 6'7" in terms of his size. That's a monster. 43 catches last year, 5 touchdowns. Keon Coleman, I was looking at some stuff from Pro Football Focus on Wednesday. He is a guy that people think can be a day one NFL guy. I know I keep saying day one, but I think those are the types of players that are going to be on the field in this game. Keon Coleman, 58 catches last year for Michigan State, 7 touchdowns, 798 yards. So LSU struggled to stop the run. This is the best run game they'll probably see until at least November. They have a rebuilt secondary. But guess what? What did I just say? Biggest, most physical wide receiver group that they'll probably see all year long. As I said, Hyke Williams, another kid, 6'3", 6'4", 5-star kid, highest ranked recruit that Florida State brought in this year. Then you look at it from the other side, and this is what stands out to me, is that Florida State probably has the best secondary that LSU will see for a significant amount of time. And that's where the concern comes in, is that you look at LSU, a little bit banged up in the running back room. That's okay. That's a place they have depth. But at the same time, keep in mind, LSU's strength is in the pass game with those big wide receivers, those star wide receivers, Malik Nabers, Kyron Lacy, as I said, Brian Thomas, and Mason Taylor, the tight end. Well, Florida State finished 4th nationally in pass defense last year. So you're talking about, from the Florida State perspective, your strengths are going against LSU's weaknesses on offense. And then on defense, your strengths are going up against LSU's strengths. And so because of it, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I love LSU. I love Brian Kelly. I've said it a million times. When Brian Kelly was at Cincinnati, that was kind of overlapping with the time that I was at UConn. I have followed his career since the Cincinnati days. I love Brian Kelly. I always thought he was underrated at Notre Dame. But I still think he's got some work to do with this LSU roster. Remember, he was asked at SEC Media Days, how far are you from Georgia? He said, we're not there yet. He said, another class or two, we're going to get there. But this was a guy that inherited a program with 39 scholarship players when he took over. That is not a 1.5 year rebuild. That is a this is the first full offseason he's coming off of. It's going to take a 3-4 year process to build a roster that can compete with Georgia and Alabama. Now, again, if this was the 12 team playoff era, I would have him as one of the 12 teams that make it by the end of the year. But in a 14 playoff year playing this Florida State team, I don't like the matchup. And so, yes, I don't pick games. I don't pick, winners in every single game. There's sometimes that I don't like a spread. I do like the spread in this Florida State game. I think the wrong team is favorite. I think Florida State wins. And this is my bold take for week one. I think Florida State wins convincingly. Final score, in my opinion, 35-21 Florida State wins. They have those big wide receivers that are going to give that LSU secondary fits. They have that big offensive line that is going to be the best one LSU sees probably until Alabama. I like Florida State to win this game outright as a slight underdog. No slight underdogs in Fort Worth, Texas this weekend. That is because TCU, the reigning national runners-up. Last time we saw them getting boat raced by Georgia. It doesn't change the fact that it was an incredible year for Sonny Dykes in that group. They play Colorado, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders this coming weekend. Spread, TCU, a 20.5-point favorite in the Betfred Sportsbook. The over-under in this game is 63.5. And really, I would say this, is that I think this is kind of a new beginnings type game for both teams when you really think about it. TCU has to replace a lot off that national championship runner-up. Oh, by the way, Colorado's got a bunch of new players on that roster. Because it's Coach Prime, because it's Deion Sanders, let's start with Colorado. And let me say this about Coach Prime. There's been so much talk about what he did this offseason and why did he do this and why did these guys do that. Let me defend Coach Prime. When you take over a roster as bad as Colorado is, you got to boot some of those kids to the curb. I looked it up and I couldn't believe this. You know that Colorado ranked in the bottom five nationally in scoring offense and scoring defense? You know how bad you have to be to have one of the five worst offenses in college football and one of the five worst defenses in college football? It's one thing to be like a Cliff Kingsbury or a Lincoln Riley and be great on one side of the ball and mediocre at the other. To be mediocre on both sides, it speaks to what Coach Prime had to do this offseason. By the way, a couple more stats really quickly, just to give you a feel for how bad this was. I went back and looked at some of the final scores. Colorado, these were some of their losses last year. They lost by 31 points to Air Force. 42-point loss to Minnesota. 23-point loss to Arizona. 33-point loss to Oregon State. 39-point loss to Oregon. 33-point loss to USC. 47-point loss to Utah, or to Washington, 42 points to Utah. I mean, that's a lot of really bad losses. So that is why Coach Prime had to do what he did. Now, in terms of the big names you need to know from the Colorado perspective, you probably know him by now, right? Shador Sanders is in at quarterback. And I'll defend not only Coach Prime, but Shador for a minute. Like, for everybody that's just, Colorado, Coach Prime thinks this is going to be. Here's what you need to know about Shador. Shador was a player that was offered by Alabama coming out of high school. He is not in this stage, at this stage, whatever, because of who his father is. He is an FBS Power 5 caliber quarterback who just so happened to be playing at the FCS level for Jackson State last year. Stats last year, by the way, were absolutely incredible. 70% completion percentage, 40 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I get that it's a major step up. I would also say this, not going to be playing a very good defense, at least this coming weekend. We'll get to TCU in a minute. In addition to Shador Sanders, the other names you need to know, a lot of skill position talent on offense. Jimmy Horn, wide receiver from South Florida. Xavier Weaver, wide receiver from South Florida. Obviously, Travis Henry is a guy that is going to play on both sides of the football. Alton McCaskill, really highly regarded running back, was a little bit banged up last year at Houston. Not a little bit banged up. He tore his ACL, but they think he's going to be good to go. And Coach Prime, in a short amount of time, did a pretty good job in recruiting, adding a bunch of skill position guys. Dylan Edwards, four-star who had been committed to Notre Dame. He was there for the spring. Amarion Miller had been committed to Nebraska. As far as the defensive side of the ball, the offensive line, we know the issues there. And I think that's ultimately what keeps Coach Prime from Colorado from having a ton of success this year. The depth on the offensive line, the defensive line just isn't good enough. Now, from the TCU perspective, let me say this. I do think in life, two things can be true. What TCU did was awesome last year. 13-2, they finished. They were the Big 12 runners-up. Remember, they didn't win the Big 12 championship, but they beat Michigan to play for a college football national championship. And it was a great season. And I was at the game, talked to TCU fans after. It was a dream season, even if it didn't work out the way that they wanted. With that said, they do have a lot to replace this year. Remember, Max Duggan, Heisman Trophy finalist, no longer there. You probably know about that. Kendre Miller, leading rusher, no longer there. Quentin Johnston, first-round wide receiver, no longer there. And in total, I don't think people realize this, TCU had 8 players drafted off last year's roster, which was one of the highest totals in all of college football. Defensively, they need to do a lot of work. Now, I should say, before I even get to the defense, I do want to give Sonny Dykes credit. Great play caller, great offensive mind, and he did a good job of fixing things in the portal and adding talent in the portal. Trey Sanders, former Alabama running back, is in. JoJo Earl, former Alabama wide receiver, is in. And oh, by the way, JP Richardson, Oklahoma star wide receiver, is in as well. Where my concern for TCU comes in is if that offense even takes half a step back, the defense was not very good last year. Overall, TCU's defense, how about this? They ranked 89th nationally in points per game allowed, just under 30 points per game allowed. They ranked 94th nationally in yards per game allowed, over 400 yards per game, 78th nationally in rush defense, 96th nationally in pass defense. Now, maybe the pass defense was because they got up big in some games, whatever. But keep in mind, they didn't even get up that big in a lot of games. This was a team that had several big comebacks last season. You go back to some of those games that they played. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, you obviously had the walk-off win against Baylor. You had, I'm just trying to think of some of these other games. They were down 28-17 when they played Kansas State in the regular season, ended up winning that game. They trailed 17-14 against Texas Tech going into the fourth quarter. How about this? They trailed 27-13 against Oklahoma State midway through the third and ended up winning in two overtimes. And so when I look at TCU, if the offense even takes half a step back, the defense wasn't very good last year, and they won a lot of close games. Because of it, I'll just be blunt. I said when the week one lines came out back in May or June or whenever it was, I said Colorado plus the 3 touchdowns is my official best bet. And 2.5, 3 months later, I'm not backing down from it. I look at this matchup, and what stands out to me, Shador Sanders and that offense are going to be able to move the ball. Are they going to be great? Are they going to be perfect? No. When they play Oregon, when they play the better defenses in this league, Utah later in the year, are they going to put up 60 points? Of course not. But against this TCU defense that gave up 30 points a game last year, they're going to be able to move the ball. And so when I look at this game, I think the 20.5 points are way too many for this Colorado team. I believe Colorado is way more talented than people give him credit for. And I believe Coach Prime is a way better coach than people give him credit for. Remember, 12-1 last year, 11-2 the year before, and one of those losses was to an FBS program. So my official Betfred best bet for this game and for this week in week one is Colorado plus 20.5. I think they cover. I think they keep it competitive. I think there's even a scenario where they win, but I'll just make the bet at 20.5 and stick with that. All right, so what we're going to do, we are going to take a quick break because that first segment in true Taurus fashion went pretty long. We're going to talk Penn State, West Virginia. We're going to talk North Carolina, South Carolina, a lot more coming up. Quick break. Be right back. All right, we're going to get back to the show in a minute. But before we do, I want to welcome back our presenting sponsor, Betfred Sportsbook and the Betfred Sportsbook app. By now, you know Betfred's story started in 1967 in the UK, over 1,000 shops in the UK, and they have now come to the United States and made a major splash. They are the presenting sponsor of not only all things Aaron Torres Media, but the Colorado Rockies, the Denver Broncos, the Cincinnati Bengals. And what I love about Betfred, nobody takes care of their customers quite like Betfred does. I've been telling you that for a year. We have sent listeners of the Aaron Torres pod to Denver Broncos VIP tailgates. The Betfred suite at Cincinnati Bengals games is rocking. Betfred bettors have thrown out first pitch at the Colorado Rockies games. Nobody takes care of their customers quite like Betfred. And here is what they are doing for you right now. How about this? Bet $50 on any game, get up to $1,111 in free bets. Here's how it works. Download the Betfred Sportsbook app. Bet $50 on anything you want to bet on. You automatically get $111 in free bets. But beyond that, you get up to $200 in insurance for your first 5 weeks as a Betfred customer, totaling $1,111 in free bets. I've told you for a year, nobody takes care of their customers quite like Betfred. They're the only book that I bet with. And I want to thank Betfred for being our presenting sponsor. All right, everybody. I'm back. Good to be back. Let's get to the rest of the week one slate presented by Betfred Sportsbook. Want to start with what I deem to be a very interesting game and certainly a very interesting point spread in the North Carolina-South Carolina game. So very interesting matchup, 7:30 Eastern, ABC, that big ABC game. And what's interesting to me, by the way, game is in Charlotte, so neutral site game. What's interesting to me, it's actually North Carolina that is a 2.5-point favorite in the Betfred Sportsbook. The over-under is set at 64.5. And let me say this. I get that North Carolina has Drake May, maybe at least from an NFL draft perspective, the second best quarterback in college football. I also understand that North Carolina is coming off a 9-win season and a division title. But bluntly, I am a little bit surprised that they are the favorites in this game. Now, in terms of why I'm a little bit surprised, South Carolina, a couple things stand out. One, an incredible finish to last year. We all know the details, but it's worth reiterating. This was a team that in the final 2 weeks of the regular season, Tennessee had a chance to play itself into the college football playoff. Now, they needed some stuff to go their way, a couple breaks. But if Tennessee won out, they were probably going to the playoff. South Carolina smacks them. Tennessee loses. Now, obviously, that was the game that Hendon Hooker got hurt. That was a bummer. But it doesn't take away from the fact that South Carolina, even prior to the injury, was in complete control. Knocks Tennessee out of the playoff picture. And then a week later, remember, Clemson had a chance, if they won out, to make the playoff themselves. South Carolina beats them. Clemson's out of the playoff picture. Ironically, the next week, they go to Charlotte, where they beat North Carolina to win the ACC title. So one, South Carolina played really well down the stretch, But two, and I think this is the important part that's worth kind of noting, is that South Carolina's success really coincided with Spencer Rattler playing very well himself late in the season. If you just look at Spencer Rattler's stats from late in the year, you sit there and say, Spencer Rattler wasn't that good. 18 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. But Spencer Rattler, 13 TDs, 3 touchdowns in the final 3 games of the season. Again, when he had success, the team had success. Good news for South Carolina. They did lose some pieces in the portal. Leading rusher Marshawn Lloyd, Jaheim Bell, the tight end. But their leading receiver, Juice Wells, is back. He is not only the leading receiver at South Carolina, he is the SEC's leading returning receiver in his own right. Nicholas Harbor, the 5-star freshman, we expect him. He's an athlete, but I wouldn't be surprised if he got some touches on offense. And overall, I'm really excited about this South Carolina team, and I don't see any reason why they can't start hot against what was a very bad North Carolina defense a year ago. North Carolina, first year return of Gene Chizik as the defensive coordinator. Yes, that's right. They finished 115th nationally in total defense and 115th nationally in pass defense as well. Now, from the North Carolina perspective, obviously it all starts with Drake May, But again, this is part of why I'm surprised with this stat, with this point spread. Drake May is incredible. Nobody's doubting that. But remember, his longtime offensive coordinator, the guy that he worked with for the last 2 years, Phil Longo, is now at Wisconsin. Offensive coordinator's gone. Mack Brown has said all the right things about the impact that Chip Lindsey has had. But new offensive coordinator, new play caller, knew this, knew that. And it's also worth noting, and I think any college football fan knows this, but potentially Drake May's best wide receiver, best target, Tez Johnson, is still not cleared as I record here by the NCAA. Now, that might change. If it does, don't get in the YouTube comment section or tweet me or whatever. But Tez Johnson, a two-time transfer by technicality, did not play in the COVID year, whatever. Like by technicality, a two-time transfer. North Carolina believes they have a strong case for him, but we don't know if he is going to play as of right now. And so because of it, new offensive coordinator, you're without your top receiver. And it's also worth noting, at least until you play Clemson, this is the best secondary that North Carolina is going to face all year. South Carolina, again, they do certain things really well, and one of them is defend the pass. Last year, they had 14 interceptions. That was by far the most in the SEC, and they had the number one pass defense in the SEC as well. And so when I look at this game, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it, but it reminds me a lot of the LSU-Florida State preview. What did I say in that game? I thought all of Florida State's strengths went up against LSU's weaknesses, and I thought a lot of LSU's strengths were going up against a lot of Florida State's strengths as well, advantage Florida State. Same with this one. South Carolina's pass offense, which wasn't great until late but got hot, going up against a bad UNC secondary. Drake May facing maybe the best secondary he'll see all year. I like South Carolina. If you want to call it an upset, call it an upset. I believe they get the win in Charlotte on Saturday night. Let's keep it going. And speaking of Saturday night, for the first time ever, the first Big Ten on NBC game is Saturday night at 7:30. That's right. Remember, this year we get Big Ten games, some on CBS. CBS will still have the SEC for one more year, but we get a couple of big games on CBS. And Big Ten on NBC every single Saturday night. Kind of crazy to think about. Well, the debut comes in Happy Valley, where West Virginia goes to Penn State. Penn State is a 20-point favorite in the Betfred Sportsbook. The over-under is set at 50. In terms of this game, listen, if you listen to the Aaron Torres pod, if you follow me on social media, if you follow me on Instagram, at Aaron Torres pod on Instagram, I really like this Penn State team. And I know it's kind of trendy, but I am one of many that has picked Penn State to make the college football playoff. Why? Well, part of it's the schedule, but part of it is they got a lot of really good players. Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen, elite running backs combined for over 2,000 yards last year. Dante Cephas, transfer portal wide receiver, is a stud. Also worth noting on top of that, the O-line is as good as any in college football, I think. Olufashinu, I've used the term day one pick a lot on this show, and we're going to use it a few more times before the end, but he's like a top five type talent in next year's draft. You want a preview of the big names in the next NFL draft? This is your weekend. Drake May for South Carolina, Olufashinu for Penn State, Jared Verse for Florida State. We have talked about all of them on this show already. Defensively, again, I mentioned those PFF rankings, Pro Football Focus. And Chop Robinson, a junior defensive lineman, he's a first-round grade, according to PFF. A couple other guys on this defense, Abdul Carter. So the talent is there for Penn State. Drew Aller, obviously, is the quarterback. I should mention that. This will be his first start taking over for Sean Clifford. But if you're going to get a start, do it at night in the home stadium. And when I look at this game, I don't want to beat around the bush. I don't really know how West Virginia stays competitive, because the bottom line with West Virginia, listen, I'm not anti anybody. I'm not trying to get anybody fired. It has not gone well for Neil Brown. This is year six, his best 2 years. He went 6-4 in the COVID year and then 6-7 in 2021. It's actually year five, excuse me. Went 5-7 last year and is 22-25 overall. And when I look at West Virginia, I've said this a few times on the Aaron Torres pod, I don't know what their identity is. I guess I've said it on this show too. I don't know what their identity is, right? Some schools really good on offense. Some schools really good on defense. Some schools really good on special teams. Some schools are the portal schools. Some schools sign the five stars. Some schools are about speed. Some are about power. Like, what is West Virginia's identity? And so you're going into a make or break year. How about this? A fourth offensive coordinator in the last 4 years, and really a quarterback that essentially, I don't want to say he hasn't played because Garrett Green did play last year, but he's a 55% completion percentage guy. So now you're going to Penn State at night. I don't think it's technically a whiteout game, but it's going to be loud. Penn State is so good defensively. And on top of it, it's a night game. I think it's bad news. Went back and looked it up just to make sure. Penn State last year in home games, this is what they did. First of all, they gave up 21 points or fewer in 10 of 13 games last year. But at home, these were the point totals that they gave up. 10 points, 14 points, 7 points, 17 points, 44 points to Ohio State. But remember that game, they turned the ball over a bunch in the fourth quarter. They only had given up 16 points to that point into the fourth quarter, 0 and 16. So gave up 17 points once last year, 17 or more once last year at home. And that one game that they did was against Ohio State where they only had given up 16 going into the fourth quarter. Listen, I'll be blunt. I think Penn State wins a lot to a little. I like the spread in this game. And I'll also say this. I don't know if I'm going to officially bet it yet, but the over-under of 50 sounds good as well, because I think this is like a 31-3 type butt-kicking where Penn State covers and it's super low scoring. Give me Penn State, but I do like Penn State to take care of West Virginia. Final game that we'll kind of really dive deep into. We'll go straight to Monday night, because Monday night, Clemson travels to Duke. Clemson is a 13-point favorite in the Betfred Sportsbook. The over-under is set at 50. And what's interesting to me about, first of all, shout out to Dabo Swinney. Shout out to Clemson. This is the second year in a row they have played on the Monday of Labor Day weekend. So, selfishly, I hope this becomes a thing. I love having a big game. They've always played games on this Monday night, but I kind of love getting Clemson on this slate, because sometimes on a Saturday, if you're playing Duke, if you're playing Georgia Tech, if you're playing Boston College, it's hard to tune in. It ain't hard to tune in on a Monday night when there's nothing else. So I will be watching Clemson, again, a 13-point favorite. And listen, we all know what the story is coming into this year with Clemson. What are you going to get with this offense under first-year coordinator Garrett Riley? I almost called him Lincoln Riley. That's his brother, Garrett Riley. Of course, Garrett Riley did come from TCU, where he coordinated the offense a season ago. What'll be interesting is, first of all, what do you get from Cade Klubnik and how quickly does it happen? Klubnik really, basically last year, got two starts. It was in the ACC championship game and then the bowl game. Was great in the ACC championship game, 20 of 24 passing, 279 yards against North Carolina, one touchdown. Was not great in the Orange Bowl, 30 of 54. That's a 55% completion percentage, 320 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. So what do you get from Cade Klubnik? Because at the end of the day, everything else at Clemson is elite. The run game should be elite with Will Shipley. On top of that, the defense is going to be as good as any in college football. Jeremiah Trotter's a stud. Barrett Carter's a stud. We've talked about first round, day one talents. Those guys are both it. Studs up front, Tyler Davis. The other kid, Rome, however you say his name. I'm not even going to try to say it. I'll trip over my own words. A couple of the corners are good. So you look at this defense. This defense is elite. The run game should be good. How good can Cade Klubnik be? How good is the offensive line? And do wide receivers emerge? What'll be especially interesting is seeing them against this Duke team. Duke, we got to give credit where it's due, man. Listen, Mike Elko had as good of a job as any first-year head coach last year. And that sort of pains me to say, because I'm a UConn fan and Jim Mora did great. But you put Sonny Dykes as probably number one, Mike Elko's number two, Jim Mora's number three in terms of great, great, great coaching jobs. Duke went 9-4 last year. And what's wild to me, it's not just that they went 9-4. They lost three games by a field goal. So they were a play or two away from being a potential 10 or 11 win team last year, Duke, in year one under Mike Elko. What'll be interesting, one, can you get anything going offensively? Because this is obviously the best defense you'll see all year. Riley Leonard, the quarterback for Duke, he's a guy some believe. Again, a first-round type talent. I don't think he's a first-rounder, but I've seen him on some mock draft boards. Really a great dual-threat guy. 33 touchdowns last year, 20 passing, 13 on the ground. The big question is, can he get things going against, again, what will be the best defense that he sees all year? More importantly, I think on the other side of the football, can Duke get stops? Because it's one thing, you know, the thing with Duke last year, there was almost like a little bit of a USC thing. We talked about it with USC all last year. They weren't great on defense, but they forced so many freaking turnovers that they were in every game because of it, or they won every game in USC's case. Well, Duke was much the same. Duke, are you ready for this? Plus 16 in turnover margin a year ago. They forced an insane number of turnovers, and I'll be curious to see if they can do it again. They're going to need to, because this defense was okay, but 104th against the pass. That would be my concern coming into this one. Terms of the game, this is one I'm not going to bet. I feel like I've given you picks in just about all of these games, but this is one that I will be staying away from just because I don't have a great feel. If I had to bet either side, I would probably take the under of 50. Like I said, I think this is probably like a 31 to 10 win. You know, listen, I think Duke's going to struggle to move the ball. I'm going to stay away. I would lean under, but Clemson, this is great, man. I don't want to say I'm more excited for this than LSU Florida State, because I'm not, but in terms of standalone games, Monday night, a chance to evaluate a team that we're going to see later in the month against Florida State, could not be more excited to watch this one. A couple other games. Listen, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on these. I'll just give you some quick thoughts. Obviously, the early game on Saturday outside of the big noon game, Tennessee plays Virginia. Tennessee is a 28-point favorite in the Betfred Sportsbook, over under 56.5. Total stay away, in my opinion. Listen, Joe Milton, if he's that dude, then Tennessee is, of course, a team that can make the playoff. I mean, they could go 10-2 again, maybe compete for a playoff spot. If he's not, you kind of know where I'm going with this. I think Tennessee wins. I think they cover. I will not be betting it. But Tennessee is a 28-point favorite in the Betfred Sportsbook. The other one that's interesting to me, I mentioned this a minute ago, is that Penn State, West Virginia is the debut of the Big Ten on NBC. Well, the debut of the Big Ten on CBS. That's right. Gary Danielson, Brad Nessler, they will be calling Ohio State at Indiana. We know now that Ohio State, of course, named Kyle McCord the starting quarterback. But that said, it's a total stay away to me. I think they win, and I think they cover. A couple things stand out. One, I do think Ohio State wants to get up big, because I think Ryan Day wants to get both quarterbacks reps in this game. So that's one. But on the road, it's going to be, you know, 3:30 kickoff, could be pretty hot. It's going to be steamy. It's going to be, you know, crazy road environment. Stay away to me. But yeah, those are the week one games. I think I'm done. I don't think there's anything else to add. But yeah, I let me just say this. Those are the week one games. I gave you some good content. It's time for me to get out of here. By the way, if you want to read more about my picks, you can go to AaronTorresOnline.com, where all my picks are available. But that said, though, it is time for me to get out of here. Couple things. If you're not subscribed to the College Football Betting feed, please make sure to do so. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, wherever you listen to podcasts, the College Football Betting show is available. And oh, by the way, also, make sure to subscribe on YouTube as well. College Football Betting with Aaron Torres. That channel is really starting to take off. Appreciate everybody's support. That's all for the week one preview. I am tired. I'm ready to get out of here, and I am ready to watch some football. By the way, if you missed the show earlier in the week, we previewed the three Thursday games. As you guys and girls listen, it is Thursday today. So make sure to check out the preview of Minnesota, Nebraska, Florida, Utah, and UConn, NC State. That's it. Week one is here. Five straight days of